morning and welcome.
Good morning.
It is good to see you on this beautiful day. It's like we're getting into some summertime weather, doesn't it? Yes, it's good to be here. Let's look at a few announcements before we begin worship. If you're visiting with us, we want you to feel welcome. We're glad you're here. We need you, we want you, and I want you to be involved in the great work of the kingdom of God. We believe God is alive. And he has a great purpose for us, and certainly want to do what he's called us to do. Sunday, May the 22nd, that's next week, the Ladies Auxiliary will have a fundraiser meal. And everybody's invited. How many people can they bring?
Anybody.
Anybody?
Everybody.
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 We want everybody to come and eat. Is it going to be good food?
Yes, sir.
It's going to be good food.
Why did I say it?
You just know what everybody else is bringing, don't you?
And don't forget their wallets.
Yeah, you can make a donation. That would be even better. All right. So that's next Sunday following worship. June the 4th on Saturday, a bridal brunch for Sydney Wallace at Becky Benson's home. You see the address listed, and that's going to be June the 4th, Saturday, June the 4th. And there's phone numbers there. Any kind of questions you got about this event and how you can shower them are listed. So let's just shower them with some love and gifts and give them a jump start them into marriage, okay? Friday, June the 10th, Relay for Life at South Lenore at 6 to 10. Again, you see there's information there listed. If you got any questions, Joelle, I'm sure, would be glad to answer any question. You can call her, or there's an 800 number that you can call. Sunday, June the 12th, Senior Sunday, lunch after service. Our known seniors are McClintley McLawhorn, Ethan McLawhorn, David Tindall, Sydney Wallace, and Kaylee Howard. If you know of any others, let Miss Joanne know. By the 15th of May. June the 25th is the Deep Run Independence Parade. It begins at 6 p.m. And also this week on the 19th, Thursday, is the Convention of Original Free Will Baptists, and that will be at the Maxwell Center in Goldsboro. So be in prayer for that meeting. The first one since COVID, so hopefully everything will be good. Does anybody else have any announcements? I do have a card here. It says, your kindness is greatly appreciated. May God bless you. So grateful for all that you are and all you do. Thank you so much for your generous donation of food bags to one of our four families. And this is from Pink Hill Elementary School. We also have a letter from the Samaritan's Purse. Thank you for the gift sent to Samaritan's Purse from Deep Run Original Free Will Baptist Church for our response in Ukraine. Your generous support makes it possible for us to bring relief in Jesus' name to people who are suffering. I was in Ukraine recently to check on our teams and work there, and our medical personnel have treated thousands of patients at our field hospitals and outpatient clinics. And we continue to distribute tons of relief items and emergency food supplies through our local church partners. We are airlifting more supplies to the country about every 5 days. Over 12 million Ukrainians have been displaced by the fighting. Nearly half of them have fled the country, and the others have had to leave their homes but are still in the country and in need of help. Please pray for the people of Ukraine during this difficult time and for our teams as we minister to them. We want to take every opportunity to proclaim the hope of Jesus Christ, who said, I'm the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, yet shall he live. May God bless you. Sincerely, Franklin Graham and Samaritan's Purse. Do we have any other announcements? We'll turn to hymn 209 and stand. You're going to do our call to worship. Yeah. 209, this is the day.
This is
take your bulletin. Let's do the responsive reading together. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ.
According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope.
Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead,
to the inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you.
Who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time.
In this greatly rejoice.
Father, we thank you for this time to be able to come together and worship. We just call out to you to just rain your Holy Spirit down upon us, that we can feel your presence with power and be moved in ways unimaginable to be the people you've created us to be. Bless us as we sing and pray and worship and lift the name of Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Turn to 572, hymn number 572, Blessed Assurance. We'll sing verses 1 and 3.
Testament reading is Psalm 148. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights above. Praise him, all you have. Praise him, all his angels. Praise him, all his heavenly hosts. Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all you shining stars. Praise him, you highest heavens, and you waters above the skies. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for at his command they were created, and he established them forever and ever. He issued a decree that will never pass away. Praise the Lord from the earth, you great sea creatures in all ocean depths. Lightning and hail, snow and clouds, stormy winds that do his bidding, you mountains and all hills, fruit trees and all cedars, wild animals and all cattle, small creatures and flying birds, kings of the earth and all nations, you princes and rulers on earth, young men and women, old men and children. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is exalted. His splendor is above the earth and the heavens. And he has raised up for his people a horn, the praise of all his faithful servants of Israel, the people close to his heart. Praise the Lord. And our New Testament reading is from the book of Revelation, chapter 21, verses 1 through 6. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away." He who was seated on the throne said, "I am making everything new." Then he said, "Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true." He said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give water without cost from the spring of the water of life." The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
This time, if we have any children's church folks, you can be dismissed. Ask our ushers to come as we worship through giving. Father God, we thank you for the abundant blessings you've given to all of us. Way too many blessings to count. But we do know there's a way we can thank you, and we give back to your work and to your kingdom's work in the name of Christ our Lord. Bless all who give, and bless the gifts. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. seated. Continue to worship as we pray this morning. Are there any needs we need to remember as we pray? Any others?
Yeah, pray my sister Karen.
Okay.
She's got stage 4 liver cirrhosis.
Okay.
And I, Rhonda Kelly.
Okay. Any others? All right, let's take action together as we pray, certainly remembering these needs and the blessings God has given to us. Let us pray. Father God, I worship you and praise you, Father. It's a great day you've given to us. Such a beautiful morning. We look out and we see all of everything that you've made blooming and blossoming and growing and living. And we just thank you for that, Lord. We can see your creative handiwork, how you're so faithful to provide each and every day everything that we need. And certainly I praise you, Father, for my brothers and sisters here today. We've come together to worship. And Lord, we just pray that we can just feel your presence, know beyond the shadow of a doubt that you certainly are our God. And we just thank you, Lord. We know we can come with confidence and boldness because Christ gave his life and died for our sins, and he intercedes on our behalf. He's standing there today, looking, waiting, and watching, calling out to each of us, Father. We just thank you for that. Remember the needs of these that have been called this morning. We're encouraged because we know that we worship and serve a God who don't just hear when we pray. Our God is able to act, to bring help, healing, and wholeness, and bring a multitude of people to come and to minister. People who are gifted with spiritual gifts from on high to work and to serve and to meet the need that we have and the need of those that we pray for. We certainly pray for the Ukraine and certainly the churches and the Christians, the believers who are serving in that area to bring relief. We pray your protection upon them. Certainly our brothers and the sisters in the faith throughout the world who put their life on the line every day to be associated with Jesus Christ. We thank you for them and just pray your protection upon them. We certainly pray for the leaders of our world and our nation. Well, we need leaders with wisdom and understanding about what is right and wrong, and leaders who can lead and lead us in the right direction. And God, we need your help with this. I don't think man has what it takes, and we need help from on high. So we pray for that, Lord. We pray for that help and that need that only you can give and that direction. We pray for the churches, Lord, throughout our land and throughout the world. We pray they would grow in number and in strength and in spiritual strength. That people can, lives can be touched and changed for the good by the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And as we worship again this morning, God, we just thank you for all you've done. And we sing from our hearts and we just bless your name and thank you for your goodness and mercy. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Turn to 605 and stand as we sing Living for Jesus. 605. We're going to sing 1, 2, and 4. Seated. Our scripture today comes from Acts chapter 18. Acts chapter 18. We read verse 24 through chapter 19, verse 7. Acts 18, 24, 19, 7. Now there came to Ephesus a Jew named Apollos, a native of Alexandria. He was an eloquent man, well-versed in the scriptures. He had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and he spoke with a burning enthusiasm and taught accurately the things concerning Jesus. Though he knew only the baptism of John, he began to speak boldly in the synagogue. But when Priscilla and Aquila heard him, they took him aside and explained the way of God to him more accurately. And when he wished to go over to Achaia, the believers encouraged him and wrote to the disciples to welcome him. On his arrival, he greatly helped those who through grace had become believers, for he powerfully refuted the Jews in public, showing by the scriptures that Jesus is the Messiah, or the Messiah is Jesus. While Apollos was in Corinth, Paul passed through the interior regions and came to Ephesus, where he found some disciples, and he said to them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you became believers?" They replied, "No, we've not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit." And then he said to them, "Into what then were you baptized?" They answered, "Into John's baptism." Paul said, "John baptized with the baptism of repentance, telling people to believe in the one who was willing to come after him, that is Jesus." On hearing this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. When Paul had laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke in tongues and prophesied. Altogether, there were about 12 of them. Our thought today is going deeper. Going deeper. In today's world, when you bring one of these large tractor trailer trucks in for service, the first thing that you do is connect the computer to them. These trucks have all of these different control modules starting from the front bumper to the back, and they all have to communicate together. There's controllers for the instruments in the truck, for the brakes, for the heat and air conditioning systems, for the stability control, for the collision mitigation systems, for the engines, for the transmissions. I mean, it's unbelievable. I was having trouble with one of these programs and trying to update parameters. So when you hook it, goes out and it looks, and if any of these things have an old version that they have updated, it'll come back and tell you, just update it, you know. But I kept getting this error message. You ever had that with a computer and got an error message? It's very frustrating. And so I decided after some time I'd call technical support, and the first question they asked me was, "What version are you using?" Well, I said 3.9. They said, "Are you serious?" "We're at 5.2 now." He said, "Let's update your software to the most current version. We'll see if that solves the problem." And sure enough, it did. It's a pretty basic concept in computer software. If you don't have the most recent version, you're going to run into incompatibility problems. You got to be up to date with the latest and greatest information to keep things running smoothly. A couple weeks ago, we began talking about a series, "Now This Changes Everything." And we know that when Jesus was resurrected from the dead, boy, man, did it change things. You know, we talked about the problem of living in today's world with a yesterday mindset and how that creates lots of problems. Now, today, I believe many people who are sincere followers of Jesus, they're many, but they're not quite up to date with everything they need to know, and everything that they need to believe, and everything they've experienced in their personal relationship with God. It's like their current version isn't quite up to date. It's kind of like they're still trying to get by on a 3.9 version when we're already in a 5.2 version world. And the book of Acts illustrates a similar problem. There were people who believed in Jesus. There were people who were following Jesus, but they weren't quite up to date in their spiritual lives. There's two stories here that we just read, two separate events, and they're tied together with a common theme, And we're going to look at them together. This first story is about a man named Apollos. He was from Alexandria, and it's important that we understand what this means. Alexandria was known as the intellectual center of the ancient world. Man, there was some brains in that part of the world, they thought, you know. And that's where Apollos was from. He was from Alexandria, but now he was living in Ephesus. And the Bible says that, man, he was a learned man. He was smart. He had a thorough knowledge of the scriptures, and he had been instructed in the way of the Lord Jesus. And they said that he was a great speaker too. Man, he spoke with great knowledge and great passion and great boldness. I mean, you know, when you taking on those Jews back in that day, you had to be bold, boy, because they would put something on you, you know. You know, they stoned Paul, whipped Paul, tried to kill him. And Apollos, man, he'd stand right up to him. He was bold. But the Bible says that Apollos only knew the baptism of John. And this is the book of Acts' way of saying that Apollos really didn't have a full knowledge and a full understanding of all the teaching that was related to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He didn't know about the new life that we can experience in him. And at the same time, there was this married couple living in Ephesus named Priscilla and Aquila. And you know, they were probably saved under the ministry of the Apostle Paul. Most certainly they were discipled under him. And they had become prominent leaders in the church. And when Priscilla and Aquila heard Apollos speak, the Bible says that they invited him to come to their home so they could explain the way of God to them more adequately. Other translations say more accurately. In other words, they were going to bring him up to date, right? Now, the result of this spiritual update was that the Bible says that God, after this spiritual update, God used him in an even greater way. And that he became known throughout the church as a defender of the faith. There are many who believe that he possibly could have been the one who wrote the book of Hebrews. But anyway, he was a great influence for the cause of Christianity. A short time later, Paul came through Ephesus, and he met up with some disciples there, and this is what our second story says. Here's how it begins. Paul comes into town. He's in Ephesus, and he sees these disciples. Something just don't look right. It had to have been something a little off kilter. He come up to them, and he met them, and he said, "Boys, have y'all received the Holy Spirit? Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" And I reckon they gave him that deer in headlight look. We ain't never even heard of a Holy Spirit. What are you talking about? Paul said, "What baptism did you receive?" They said, "We received John's baptism." In other words, John the Baptist. So apparently, at this time, there were disciples scattered throughout the Roman world who, like Apollos, had been followers of John the Baptist. They had heard about Jesus just enough to know that many were saying that he was the promised Messiah and that he was the one that they should be following. Maybe they knew about his death. Maybe they had even heard about his resurrection. But they didn't have the full and complete story of what the death and resurrection of Jesus was all about. Luke refers to them as disciples, in other words, believers. But it was, I guess, at a less than complete form of discipleship. Paul brought them up to date. He told them all about Jesus, all about what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ, and he baptized them into the name of Jesus. Scripture said he laid his hands on them, prayed for them, and they received the Holy Spirit, and they began to prophesy and to speak in other languages. Now, we could talk about that even more, but that's not our point today. Here's the point. Here's the real sign to note. The real sign to note here is that these disciples, upon receiving Jesus and receiving the power of God, they begin to prophesy in his name. Now, in this story, as in the story of Apollos, we see an example of disciples who were living in a state of not quite there yet. They were trying to live an incomplete kind of Christianity. They were living in an old version, so to speak. And I would suspect there are many today in churches like Apollos, many who know some of the story. And maybe like Apollos, they're even fervent in what they know. But yet they don't know the rest of the story. And I would say today there's some in churches who are like the disciples that Paul encountered in Ephesus. Some who know some of the story enough to associate themselves as disciples, but yet they've yet to experience the fullness that God offers in the Spirit-filled life. You ever felt this way? Like maybe something was missing? Like, where do I really get the power I need to make it? Well, why doesn't the Christian life work for me like it does for some of these other super Christians? Ever had questions like this before?
Oh, yeah.
Well, today I want to present three choices you can make that I believe will help discover a satisfactory answer to these questions. Three steps I believe will help resolve once and for all the what is missing from my spiritual life dilemma. Three choices I believe that will bring us up to date. Help us to move forward in our life as a follower of Jesus Christ. Here's the first choice. Make the choice to go deeper in your knowledge of Jesus Christ. Apollo knew the Bible. I would hate to have debated him. From Alexandria, the intellectual capital of the world, man, I bet he was good. He knew it well. But keep in mind, of course, we're talking about the Old Testament. That's all he had. There was no New Testament. But he knew the Old Testament well, and the New Testament was still being written. And the Old Testament, you know, it has a lot to say about Jesus. And Apollo had been instructed in the prophecies and the things that pointed to Jesus. And Acts says that in the way of the Lord, he knew a great deal about Jesus. Acts says that he taught Jesus accurately. It also says that he spoke with great fervor. Fervor in the Greek means boiling. In other words, passion just boiled from him when he spoke. But he didn't yet know all that he needed to know. It was time to go deeper. And that's where Priscilla and Aquila come in. They heard him speak. You know, there's several things that Aquila and Priscilla could have done. They could have tried to run him out of the synagogue or run him out of town. Or they could have debated him publicly, tried to humiliate him. But they didn't. They knew the grace of God. It says they took him to the side, probably took him into their home and sat down, and they had his long meeting. And they taught him the way of God more adequately. And this brings us to an important quality that we must learn to imitate. Apollos, being from Alexandria, was knowledgeable. He had a lot of knowledge. But yet, he was teachable. Not all people who have knowledge are teachable. You ever run across some of those? It's kind of a rare combination. It's kind of hard to teach someone who thinks they know it all. I've known people who had just enough knowledge about spiritual things to think they knew everything that they needed to know. I've known church people. They had it all learned. They had everything they needed to know. They didn't need to learn from the preacher. They didn't need to learn from the Sunday school. They didn't need to learn from a Bible study, because they know more than anybody else. End of story. And this is why Paul said in 1 Corinthians 8, he said, knowledge puffs up. It leads to arrogance. And unless you have the character to remain teachable, If you're knowledgeable, you become unteachable in spite of what you know. Here's what I'm saying. Whatever you know about the Christian life, there's more to know. Whatever you know about salvation, we receive through our Lord Jesus Christ. There's always more to know. There's always more to learn. There's always more. And the more we put to practice what we learn, the more we learn. We have to be teachable. We must make it our lifelong mission to grow deeper in our knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, in our knowledge of the Scriptures, in our knowledge of doctrine and theology, because what we don't know could be holding us back. But more importantly, it could be holding others back. Thank God for people like Aquila and Priscilla. They did not allow their knowledge to hold them back, but they were willing to share that knowledge and the grace of God with Apollo. So go deeper in the knowledge of the Bible. Go deeper in your knowledge of Jesus Christ. Go deeper in the meaning of God's grace in every area of the Christian life. And I tell you, it begins every day when we get up and we open our Bibles and we read. And you don't have to read two or three books. Read the God speaks to you. It may be three or four verses or a chapter. But think about that and put it to work. Put it to use. There are plenty of ways we can learn about the Bible. Join a Bible study group. Be teachable every single day. Never be satisfied with what you think you know about God and the Bible and about Jesus and about Christian living. Always have a teachable spirit where you're eager to learn more, because when it comes to experiencing the fullness of the Christian life, what you don't know could be holding you back. Make the choice to go deeper. The second choice, make the choice to go deeper in the spirit-filled life. Now, there are a lot of spirits out there, right? But I'm talking about the Holy Spirit, okay? I'm talking about the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit. The Spirit, that's the third part of the Trinity. You got God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, and they are as one. The lesson we learn from both of these accounts, in addition to becoming a more adequate knowledge of the Word of God, is that we need to have a personal one-on-one account with the Holy Spirit. The lesson here is that God wants all believers to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Well, how does that happen? Well, it happens when we're saved. We're saved, we receive the Holy Spirit, and we become a new creation in Christ. Our sins are forgiven. The Holy Spirit comes to dwell in our spirit and assures us that we are His. And if we're following Jesus Christ, we have that Holy Spirit with us. But there's an experience beyond salvation that can take you deeper in your spiritual life. And it's not that you get more of the Holy Spirit. It's that the Holy Spirit gets more of you. Have you ever told somebody no before? My parents used to tell me no quite a few times there, you know. And it's easy to say no to the Holy Spirit, isn't it? We know that Spirit's there. We know that God wants to just let the Spirit just get more of us. And many times we say no. We turn away. We fail to surrender to the leadership that God wants to give us on a daily basis. His Holy Spirit within us to consume all of us and lead us and move us in the direction that He would have us to go, to give us the things that we need to say, to give us the right attitude, to give us the grace of God when we come into difficult people. Acts 1:8 says, that when we're filled with the Holy Spirit, it says you will receive power. And that is the power of God. And it's easy to think many times that we have a solution to all of the little things that we run in life. In relationships, in work, and even church. But I tell you, we need to say yes and let the Holy Spirit consume us so we can follow the leadership and the moving of the Holy Spirit. The other week, I reminded us all that you receive the power you need for daily living when you walk daily in the presence of Jesus. And that's exactly what being filled with the Holy Spirit is about. Walking daily in His presence. And when I talk about the fullness of the Holy Spirit, or when the Bible does, it's not talking about some kind of emotional outburst. It's not seeing how fast you can run across the back of the proves your back door. The Bible speaks about being filled with this Holy Spirit every single day. It's an everyday experience. It's an all throughout the day experiences where we have to yield to ourselves. We might have to bite our tongue. And we say yes to the Holy Spirit and the power of the Holy Spirit. And the Bible assures us that when we need His power, when we open ourselves up to His power, that He's there. I don't know of anything else in life that you can say about that. You know, people let us down a lot of times. We need them to be there and they're not. We may expect things from work, and many times it's not there. But beloved, when we need the power of the Holy Spirit, if we're walking in the fullness of the Holy Spirit, every time we need God's power, it's there. The challenge today is to seek a deeper walk in the Spirit-filled life. And it could be as simple as saying, Holy Spirit, I need help today. I tried to live yesterday. I'm on fire, and I made a mess. I don't want to make that same mess today. I don't want to treat people today like I treated them yesterday. I want to treat them like You would treat them. I need Your power. I need Your help. And I'm just going to surrender my old hard-headed self to Your lordship and to Your leadership, that You can help me to do what I should do in Your name. Pray a prayer like that at the beginning of the day. If it don't work out too good, you got break time, huh? Pray it again. And then you got lunch, right? Pray it again. Pray it as many times as you need to pray, because He's listening and He's ready. One more thing about the experience of the Holy Spirit. I believe God wants to bless each and every believer. He wants them to be filled with the Holy Spirit to the extent that the gifts of the Holy Spirit are at work in your life. When Paul prayed for the disciples in Ephesus, they received the Holy Spirit, and they began to demonstrate gifts of the Spirit. In this case, they were speaking in other languages and prophesying. These were very visible gifts. You can spot them right away. Other gifts are not as visible and not as showy, but they can be much more powerful as we exhibit them and we share them. The Bible teaches there's all kinds of gifts, and all Spirit-filled believers have received a special spiritual gift or gifts that they must put to use in the kingdom of God. Now, spiritual gifts have one thing in common, one common denominator. You know what it is? Spiritual gifts benefit someone else. God has given you a spiritual gift, and you're to use it to benefit others. And this leads to the third idea we need to hear this morning. If you're wondering what you're missing from your Christian experience, the third choice to make is to use your God-given gift to serve others. Jesus said in Acts 1:8, you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. This power you receive is not just inventory that you'll store up away in some kind of spiritual warehouse in case you might need it one day. No, it's power that the Holy Spirit gives that you use right away when you receive it. You use it to serve others, to help others, to minister to others, to lead others, to build others up, to teach others, to comfort others, to assist in the healing of others. It's used to encourage others. It's used to strengthen others. And on and on and on we could say. And this is the culture of the real church. The real church is filled with followers of Jesus who serve one another as if they were serving Jesus Himself. And when every believer uses the spiritual gift that God has given to serve others, The world sees the sheer power and the beauty and the majesty of the kingdom of God at work and on display each and every day. Reminds me of a story. A young boy once worked as a computer technician, and he was called one day to a man's house to help him set up a new computer and help him get connected to the internet. This man was past the age of retirement, living alone in a dilapidated old house. The wood on the front porch was rotten. There was junk everywhere. The house was cluttered everywhere on the inside. And man, it was a mess, but he had a brand new computer sitting on the kitchen table. And he wanted to be able to go online. So this young computer tech set it up for him. And at this point, the man handed him a stack of envelopes. And he said, "The bank tells me that you can connect me to their website. And I can do all my banking online, and I want you to set that up for me." And in setting up this bank account, this young tech saw this man was worth more than $5 million. And yet he lived in practical poverty. He could afford a new porch. He could afford a handyman. He could afford a maid to clean the place up. And with that amount of money, he could afford to do a great deal of good for many people, many organizations in his community. He could have been doing so much, but in his eyes, his wealth was just a storage in a warehouse. Not for anyone else, not even himself. And so he lived his life way beneath his means, never allowing himself to enjoy a blessing and never challenging himself to be a blessing. There's a lesson here. I believe there are many today living desperately beneath their spiritual means. God has promised us so much more. He has promised us abundance. Jesus said he has come to give us abundant life, and yet many, many people who associate themselves as Christians live an incomplete brand of Christianity. And they're missing out on God's best. And this is where believers miss it most. God wants us all to be filled with the Holy Spirit to the extent that our life becomes all about serving others, all about building others up, all about being a blessing to others, all about bringing others, people, into his great kingdom. And if you feel like there's something missing from your life, our word today would have us to take a close look at what are we doing with the gifts that God has given us. Who are we serving? I mentioned earlier a software program was really giving me trouble. You know what the problem was? It was just simply out of date. It was no longer compatible. It was no longer useful. It was no longer able to work with other programs on the server that it was designed to work with. It had lost its connection and become disconnected from the rest of the network. Our spiritual life works the same way. And we don't want to become disconnected or outdated when it comes to God. We don't want to live an incomplete version of Christianity. We don't want to live a shallow behind the times version of Christianity. We don't have to sit around asking ourselves, where's the power? Where's the joy? Where's the meaning? We need to go deeper. We must go deeper in our knowledge of Jesus, in our experience with God's Holy Spirit. We must go deeper in understanding what our spiritual gift is from God and putting it to work to serve others. I believe as we're blessing to others, God's power comes on us in a more powerful way, in a more continual way. What was it that changed everything for Apollos and disciples who met with Paul at Ephesus? It was their decision to go deeper. Deeper into the Word. Deeper into their faith in Christ. Deeper into the fullness of the Holy Spirit. And I tell you, I believe that's what will change everything for us. When we decide we're no longer going to live in the past. We're no longer going to look to the past. We're no longer going to put confidence in the past. I will not stay where I am, not one day longer. Today I'm going to make the decision to go deeper. Father, we thank you for your word this morning. We thank you for your blessings. You give us everything that we need. May your word work in our lives and your spirit in our hearts. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. Stand as we sing our closing hymn, 607, Close to Thee, verses 1 and 2. God, today we commit to go deeper, deeper in your ways as you lead us. And we affirm our faith again as we pray together, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.